Welcome to another episode of the Bailing, Scouting and Barbecue Podcast. Thank you for joining me. Today, I've got Ben Clark from Zero Tech on. I've been chasing Ben for a while to get him on. I've always been a fan of what he does. He's with a big company in the Australian hunting industry, and it's always good to get local hunters on, international hunters, but it's also good to get the guys behind the products. So very keen to have a chat to Ben about everything going on with Zero Tech and TSA Outdoor and Defence. So before I get there, I just want to mention the whole guiding thing. I've just basically the last couple of days released that we're up north guiding and I'm starting my own outfitters, and it's called Up North Adventures. I've had probably over 200 messages. I just want to make it very clear. Please read the posts. With over 200 messages, and a lot of them are asking questions, that all I have to do is read the post. So there's no dogs allowed. It's a gun and bow. There's Barra fishing. There's Saratoga fishing. There's a donga set up. It's all there. We cater for everything. So just let me know. Okay. So if you want to get in contact with me, I'll send you a PDF and I'll give you all the information. Secondly, is Luke Wells's funeral is this Monday coming up, 23rd of October. If you know anything about the situation, if you go onto my Facebook page and onto Instagram, I put up a post with Luke's items have been stolen out of the police investigation stockyard in Gyra. So go and read that post. If you know of anyone who's trying to flog off some stuff on Marketplace, please get a hold of myself or Blake Wells. So let's get Luke's stuff back. It means a lot to the family. It's a horrible thing that's happened. And, just to make things worse, Luke's been killed and now someone's stolen their stuff. So if you can help and you can see something on Marketplace and you're on that Tamworth, Inverell, Port Macquarie area, I know it's a big area, and you see someone trying to flog something off cheap to get rid of it, it'll probably be Luke's. So message me, screenshot it, do the right thing. All right. I'll stop talking. Let's get Ben on and let's get chatting to the man. Okay. G'day, Ben. How you going, mate?
Hey, Lawson. Thanks for having me on the podcast, mate.
Thank you, mate. Thank you for coming on. Your room is just your room makes me jealous, mate. So congratulations on the room to start with. Some memories.
Thank you.
So, mate, let's get into it straight away. Where are you from? You don't have to tell us exactly, but whereabouts you're located?
So I'm based on the mid-north coast of New South Wales. So, I've got a remote office here that I work from. And, and I'm part of Zero Tech International. So I'm the global marketing manager for Zero Tech. So pretty much I look after Australia, USA, and all of Europe and South Africa as well for marketing and all things shooting. So in a nutshell, that's the short and hard and fast version.
No, well, that answers my next question. What do you do for work? But what is exactly you do? You're marketing. So for everyone who sees the reels, the Instagram reels, the TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you're normally either behind the camera and sometimes in front. What's your
up until just recently, there was a lot. I was actually in front of the camera more than behind the camera a lot. So that's changed in probably the last 6 months. From a social media point of view, I'm probably a little bit less involved with that now. So I've got a really, really good team of people and professionals underneath me now that do a really good job. So you've probably seen that the Zero Tech socials have really exploded. So they're a very talented group of people, and there's some really big things to come out in the next few months, I can tell you.
So talking about that, before we go any further, I didn't really do it in my intro, which we talked about, but you got a giveaway, mate, and we're going to basically, whoever listens to this podcast or watches, to win this scope, I'll let you talk more about it. I'll have a question out tomorrow, and you've got to answer the question, what we've talked about in here. So I'll make it very detailed, something very simple. But if you answer the question right, what are they going to win, mate?
So I'll give them a choice. I'll give them a choice of two rifle scopes. We've got our 3-9 Thrive series, and we've also got our Vengeance series as well. So there's either a target scope or a hunting scope. Realistically, whatever they want to choose, if they get the right answer, the question will be on one of our products. So stay tuned for that.
Lovely, mate. Thanks very much for that. That's awesome. So whoever's watching, I can see Zach Williams and Michael Tirath. Please share it, and you'll probably, stay tuned. You might win a scope. So, mate, I normally do this quick fire rapid questions. I didn't do it last week with Matthew because I was a bit under the weather. We've got some quick fire questions for you, mate. What would be your dream hunt?
My dream hunt right now would be Samba. It's one species I haven't chased and I'm very keen to, and I know it's hard and I'm keen for it. So definitely Samba.
What's your go-to gun?
300 Win Mag. So if you're chasing big deer at a bit of distance, 300 Win Mag.
Okay, well, to top it off, Zero Tech question. What scope are you using on the 300 Win Mag?
Mate, I sound like a broken record here, but 2.5 to 15x50 is the best all-round scope. Close enough, you can take close shot, and you still got the legs if you want to take out the 500.
Yep, no, very good. What was your first gun?
A clapped out 22-250 in a Ruger paddle stock. And when I say clapped out, I bought it off a Roo shooter, and I swear to God, the projectiles were doing backflips down the barrel as it was going down. It was that worn out. So, but it still did the job, and it was actually, my first gun.
How was it a heavy barrel, like those big stainless steel, or
yeah, it was one of the old stainless, mate. That thing never rusted. Yeah, like you could leave it on the bottom of the ocean for a year and it never rust. It was unbelievable, but yeah, the accuracy was not quite there.
What's your go-to cooking dish, mate?
You know what? It's so simple, and we've done this on numerous hunts. It's pretty much getting the backstrap, cutting it into 10mm steaks, salt, pepper, a bit of olive oil on a hot plate, just back and forth a couple of times just to brown it up, and then into it.
Lovely.
Keep it simple.
Last two questions, mate. What's your favorite animal to hunt?
Oh, cats.
Didn't expect that.
That's a bit of a random one, yeah. But you know what? I think that is a pinnacle of any sort of pest controller or anything like that, is to chase a cat. Second to that, probably wild dogs.
Yeah.
I think there's just such a challenge in it that presents more than any other animal.
Yeah. No, wild dogs are a different game. They can be terrifying in one moment, and then it's Well, every time, I think everyone bar one I've ever shot, it's always been just pure ass. They've just in the wrong place, wrong time, and it's game over for them. So,
yeah, pretty much.
Last question, mate. Are you a member of any hunting clubs?
I am not. Okay. So I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of private access throughout my hunting career. So I haven't actually joined any hunting clubs. I am affiliated with a few, but not actually an active member.
Yeah, okay. Mate, get down to the bread and butter. How'd you get into hunting?
Yeah, that's a great question. So duck hunting with a cousin. Yep. So many years ago. And that sort of just fueled the passion, I guess. And then it quickly progressed when I got taken with a couple of mates out to sort of central New South Wales chasing pigs. And it was back in a time, like I'm talking, probably 2002 sort of thing, when hunting wasn't as sort of popular as it is now, and the pigs were just rampant, and, it'd be nothing to go out and get 20 or 30 plus pigs a night. So, and that's when it just sparked for me. I was like, yeah. So I was already a licensed shooter. Just did the target stuff at the local club and that sort of thing. But yeah, I was just full bore into it after that.
Yeah, okay. So, were you ever a professional shooter, or has it just always been like when I say professional, like making money out of the chillers or anything like that?
No. So I never did it on a chill level. So no, I did do a lot of guiding there for a while, but yeah, never actually done it as a vertebrate controller.
Yeah. Okay. No. Very nice. So how did you slowly move in towards moving towards zero tech and getting into the hunting industry, mate? How'd that progress happen?
Yeah. So it was sort of I had my guiding business for probably quite a number of years, and I actually met the guys from TSA Outdoors through that. They'd come out to do some product testing and that sort of thing, and I, facilitated the trip, and we had a great time, and we just built a connection from there, and that sort of developed. That was about 2011, and it sort of developed over about 3 years, and then I started doing more work with them, and then sort of doing more work with TSA, and then we got to 2018 and late 2017, 2018, and then Zero Tech was born. So, and then from that is when I pretty much joined the team, like full time.
We're going to go back to another, just something you just mentioned then, and then we're going to talk a bit more about your groups you're working for. You said guiding. Tell us a bit about that.
So, it wasn't anything sort of... to put it this way, so I did guiding for corporate bodies. So okay. It wasn't just like, the average hunter wanted to go out and shoot things. It was more for like distributors, sort of large businesses that wanted to go out and test products. So I'd give them the ability to go out to a property and actually use their products in the field. So, and I've worked with quite a number of brands and distributors in Australia to get their gear out there and actually test it in real environments. So they're not just saying it works, they're actually getting out there and using it and proving it. So that's the guiding part of it. And pretty much that, to in a nutshell, was just, taking them out, showing them where to go, facilitating the whole hunt.
Yeah. No, very good, mate. So 2018, Zero Tech started, mate, and you basically jumped straight on board. What was your first role with them?
So back then, we didn't actually know. It was just we there was an idea, and we had to get the right people in to do what needed to be done. So we knew, okay, we needed an optics brand, so we did that, and then pretty much it progressed. We had to try and find the right people to put in different things like marketing, sales, design, so the whole engineering behind the product as well. So, and then I jumped on from at the time, because I had several other, my guiding business, social medias and that sort of thing, which I shared a lot of stuff through. Well, that I was quite adept at social media at the time, so I jumped on doing the social media for Zero Tech, and evidently being in front of the camera for the first 3 years. So, my face was splashed around quite a bit.
You see it everywhere these days. Nat and Dan from Boring Australia, I've had them on the podcast, and they won't touch anything else. They've got red dots. They've got they got the little scopes. You've sent me a pair of binos, which I basically treat like a baby. It's they're just so good to me. They never leave my chest. So good.
Don't treat them like a baby. Just flog them. Absolutely flog them, mate. They're built for it. So take them out. Abuse them, but use them. Yeah. So
I know. It's just something like, to me, it's just like, oh, they're just, I don't know. Just for me, it's like I try and look after my stuff because I've worked so hard for things and just don't want things to break. And it's just like the other day we had a goat hunt and I basically tripped and I left my pouch open and they came out and I actually had my bow in front of me and they landed in the middle of the bow and I kind of went, oh, God, last thing I want to know is shatter.
Mate, that's the best thing about our warranty too. There's no questions asked because, mate, we're all hunters. So every person in Zero Tech and TSA is a hunter or a shooter. So we know that things go wrong. Like, it's happened to me numerous times. Like, my caddy's flown open, I've dropped things. It happens. So if that happens, flick us a message and we'll get you sorted out.
Yeah. No, well, so, I've already sorted me out with my scope. I've made problems with that. So that's lifetime warranty is so helpful and so such a great thing that
There's a guy down in Victoria. I don't know if you've heard of him, Nick Hewitt.
Yep, yeah, the name rings a bell.
Yeah, so he's a guy down in Victoria, and that guy absolutely smashes the hell out of our optics. Everything that I've sent to him, and like he buys a lot of it himself, and man, he flogs the hell out of it, and it just holds up. So if you I don't think anyone can be as brutal as he is on optics. So mate, go for it.
Well, I've got to buy something a bit smaller. I'm going up guiding next year up to Cape York, and I've got to hire out. If people want to hire a gun, and I've got an old 303 there. Linfield, I think it's called.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Very old gun. My grandfather gave it to me, but he has sawed the wood off, so it's still obviously. It's not that original. The big long stock. So the old boy goes, we'll chuck a zero tech scope, little red dot or something on top of that.
Yeah.
I reckon it'll be cool. So that'll be the higher gun. That's the plan.
There's a growing sort of trend around that now about putting like the reflex optics on bolt guns. So there's a lot more people, if you're using like a bailing dog or anything like that, there is growing that particular style of shooting. So, and mate, I know a couple of shooters that are quite, well versed at putting a red dot on a bolt action rifle, shooting out to 100 and still like with great accuracy. So,
The country that we're hunting is just so thick. very rarely get a long shot. And I thought, a red dot will still cover that. Or those quick eye scopes that you guys do. I see Nat and Dan use them all the time. And I sent her a message, Nana, a message a while ago, and she said, that's all they use, is everything to do with Zerotech now. So I was like, oh well, that sold me. So
And they're probably the second hardest people on scopes I've ever seen too. So if anyone needs to see how durable these scopes are, go and see Nat and Dan.
So okay. I've got a question here from someone, Galah. So Zerotech warranty is just as good as Vet, if not better. Yep, they do a lifetime warranty, mate. That's right, isn't it, Ben?
Yep, lifetime, unconditional, no questions asked. Just get in touch with us and we'll get you sorted out. And the best thing is we're an all-Australian team, so everyone that works at Zerotech's all Australia, it's all based here, and you'll get an answer straight away. So usually if you reach out to us on social media, you get myself or Woody, and we'll get you sorted out that night.
Yeah. Mate, there was... There is a bit of confusion. I did speak to you before the podcast started about it. I've heard a few people say that Zerotech was Tasco. That's obviously not correct. Can you just give us a bit of a rundown on that?
So, yeah, I can see where the confusion is, because TSA Outdoors is Tasco Sales Australia. So Tasco Sales Australia is been in Australia since 1956. So originally they were the Australian distributor for Tasco Optics. Okay, we can go through a lot of history there, but we fast forward to now. Well, Niowa actually sells Tasco. Yeah. So we just kept the legacy name of Tasco Sales Australia. So the Tasco and the Zerotech are completely separate. Tasco's an American company. Zerotech's an Australian company. And there's no sort of correlation between where the optics are made or anything like that. It's completely separate.
No,
that's probably the most asked question we get through social media is it just a rebranded Tasco? And the only answer is no, it's not. That's a complete new product.
No, it's just great to clear up. That's why we, podcasts are great for that, just to clear the air.
Definitely.
I got another comment here. I got quite a few comments here. And I'm sorry, Michael. Michael's just written up a few comments. Mate, I'm not going to read all of them, because if I read all of them, for one, I'm the most dyslexic person in the world, so it'd be mumble-jabbing. Not even the warranty. The glass is great price. A mate who's Leopold fanboy couldn't believe it. My $100 Zerotech was just as clear as his 2200 scope. He's now Zerotech on his 300. Damn.
Yeah. Very good. We hear that a lot where people are switching over, and it comes down to the value of the scope. And I will never say anything bad about any other optics, because Leopolds, I've run Leopolds before, awesome scope. They still are an awesome scope, but it comes down to what your budget is. And I would ask anyone to put what they're looking at, just say they're looking at a Leopold, grab the Zerotech equivalent, put it side by side, and then make a choice. If you choose the Leopold, that's fine, but put it side by side and you'll be impressed. Yeah. So that's the best advice I can give anyone sort of thinking one way or another. Try it out in your local gun shop.
No, that's right. I've gone to my gun shop and I've done Vortex. I've gone for a few of them, and it's the quality's there. It's so good. Had a binos, couple of bino tests up at Browns Plains recently, and great quality, and like you said, it's lifetime warranty. You're not going to go past it. So,
No. So, and probably the warranty is the best thing. And, mate, it's a warranty that you hope that you don't have to use, but if you need to, it's definitely there.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the scopes and such. I haven't seen the one I've got. I haven't seen anyone else do it. It's the Shield. So the drop-down shield over both ends of the lenses. Has anyone else done that before? Because it's perfect for the weather protection,
lens caps.
Lens caps, yeah, the drop-down.
Drop-down shields. I like that. I haven't heard that one before. I'll
note
of that. Yeah, so the aluminum ones, you mean?
Yes, yeah, yep.
Yeah, so...
You've got the weather protectors, and they're just... I went for a hunt a while back and it was pouring rain, and like the scope was perfect when I got back. The lenses weren't wet, nothing. Yeah, it's just perfect. So
I guess with the aluminum covers, it was a different feel to give it like something completely different. And that's what we set out to do. Like, the optics market is heavily saturated with so many brands. We had to do something that was different. Some people love the caps, some people don't. They take them off straight away. So I think it really comes down to personal preference, but they'll take a hell of a bashing. So if something, comes through there like a stick or something, I've had it before where I've had, I won't mention the brand, but where covers have sort of pierced, especially hunting in New Zealand, where you're climbing up and your rifle jams into something. With the aluminium covers, it doesn't happen. So, and for the weight difference, there is very minimal difference between a sort of slip-on plastic and the aluminium.
When you're for a first time buyer, what would you be looking for a scope? So like just for example, me first, serious hunting rifle, a 308, what kind of questions would you ask if you're going to sell me a scope?
Well, generally this is another thing we get asked online a lot. I've got it's a 308 or a 223. I've got this, what scope would you recommend? It's a really open-ended question because I've got four scopes that I would use on both rifles. First thing I would ask them is, what are you shooting? What is it, target? Is it hunting? What's your distance? What sort of country you're hunting in? And once we can get a few of those questions identified, then we can sort of tailor some scope options, two or three for them to go and check. But we always refer them to go to a gun dealer and actually get the scope in their hands and try it. Not just excuse me.
You're right, mate.
I've got a notification going off here that I can't hide. I don't know what's happened. Excuse me.
You're
right. It's really bad. I don't know how to...
It's all good, don't you
guys? I don't know how to turn it off. Is music playing and... okay, stop. But basically finding out where they're hunting and what they're doing is the next question, and then finding out what sort of budget they've got. Almost always, if they're asking us what scope should I get, I always go with a lower power scope, something that is like a 2.5 or maybe a 4-16 or something like that. But maintaining that low power is critical, because the last thing that they need to be doing is jump, like they don't really know what they need, jumping into a high-powered scope and then getting out hunting or whatever they're doing and completely losing the animal or the target because they're too their minimum magnification is too high.
Yeah. I've got a great question here from Michael again. He's on fire tonight. Where is the glass made, and does it vary between models?
Yes. So for our optics that are made in China, it is utilizing our Chinese glass, and our optics that are made in Japan utilize Japanese glass. So we're not here to say one or the other or try and hide the fact, but that is where the glass is made for those particular scopes. So, and look, it's across every brand that is building a scope that is sub 2,000 Australian dollars. You will find that regardless of where the scope's actually assembled, the majority of the components are built in the same sort of locations.
Zerotech has grown so much. It's now, because it's Australian based. Now, with everything going overseas, is it becoming a worldwide global brand for the shooting industry, or are we getting to that stage yet for Zerotech?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll use a couple of examples quickly, but South Africa is they are Zerotech mad. Like that is probably one of our best regions for internationally for like demographic of Zerotech shooters. So they chew up a lot of scopes each year. They love what we've done. They love the price of them, and it's definitely very competitive compared to other brands.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. I've never been to South Africa. Have you ever been over there and hunted yourself, mate?
I have not, mate. Unfortunately, I plan to. when the dollars are right, I'll definitely make the trip.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is it online sales over there, or they've got hunting shops, obviously? But is it more online
It's much like Australia. So they got their dealer outlets, and people like the hunting is quite huge over there. They're lucky enough to be able to have sort of target guns, semi-auto target guns as well. So there's a huge market for that. So it's just imagine Australia, but in South Africa, it's the same process. You go into the store, you buy ammo scopes exactly as we would.
Oh, that's awesome. So, I was looking through the other day, and I've kind of started trying to get into more of the backpack hunting. I've just started bow hunting. My goal is to start hunting, go up to Victoria and just basically vanish into the bush. I just want obviously a Samba or a fallow. And that's kind of in the back of my mind, slowly moving towards that. Obviously, with the guiding business up north, it makes it a bit difficult to find time off. But is there a spotting scope coming, or is there anything like the binos are fantastic, but you want to have that sit down and use a spotting scope, a bit more American style. Is that something happening?
Yeah, so we do have our Trace Advanced spotting scope that features a reticle in it, which is more for sort of the PRS target guys. Yeah. We are looking at options right now to have another version of that. So it is a straight. I don't have one here at the moment, but I'll show you. But it is a straight spotting scope, and we are looking at angled versions as well, are more suited towards hunting. So you're not sort of just sitting there trying to look straight ahead. You can actually sit over the spotting scope and sort of relax and glass. Yeah. We do also have our 15x56 binos, which I've got a pair up here. They're very, very good too, but if you're sort of digiscoping or anything like that, you need that extra zoom. I'd probably hang out for the new spotting scope.
Yeah, it's just something I was like, I wanted to stand over it and basically sit up in the hills and just spot. And I was like, oh, that'd be perfect. Down the track. It's obviously just for the Cape York, it's just easy binos because, it's not many hills that way. I was kind of thinking over ridges and, that's when I one day buy my 300 Win Mag and I can shoot a little bit better. So
yeah, look, I do agree. Like the spotting scope, it's not really something you'd use up the top end. I know people who do, but it's like hunting up there. It's just flat. It can be shitty.
I've had a like I said at the start, had over 200 messages, and they're like a lot of people asking about dogs. And then I've got the guys who want to bring up bows, and I encourage bow hunters, I encourage rifle hunters, yep. but there's no dogs. And you know, a few people have said to me, oh, what's the situation? I said, it's thick bush, it's very normally hard and fast if you're you know, close quarter. So a lot of it's 30-30s or you know, out 270 style shooting within 100 to 200 meters. You know, and or bow hunting style, you normally, you know, obviously bow hunters are much quieter, but yeah, it's kind of binoculars is all you need. You don't need to go past you know, anything else. So
not exactly.
Yeah, but also good to have a pair of binos when on the river there. So a few good crocodiles getting around. So
yeah, bugger that. So I've hunted the Northern Territory a couple of times, and yeah, there's been some moments where I've a bit of puckering going on. So
did you do a trip recently, mate? I saw something on media, social media.
Yeah, I've just started sharing a bit more of the footage. I'm a bit of a I've got a habit of sort of putting stuff up 6 months after it's already happened. So yeah, it's sort of I was there late last year, just I think it was around September. It was October. So it was bloody hot. We did a trip with Zerotech, actually testing a few of our new products. So yeah, okay. and the test was to put them on the like the big bore rifles. So your 404 Jefferies, 416 Rigby, 375 Hohenhorn, calibers that people are using regularly up there. We got that, and then put these new optics on there and just went out there and just used them. So tested them in the heat, the humidity, the fog, everything like that, and made sure that we're bringing out a product that actually suits that environment.
What kind of scope would you be looking at for a big Rigby?
Well, we actually use reflex optics while we're up there. So I've become a fan of it. So like shooting something that big, you're not shooting at range, you're shooting relatively close. And I actually like the red dot just because of the field of view it gives you. It was both eyes open. Like if you're shooting something, like we didn't have any bulls come at us when we're on that trip. But if, you know, you had a foul shot or something and it turned on you, at least you'd be able to see, one, the animal, you've got a dot where you're aiming, and you've got a full sight picture. You're not trying to look down a tunnel. So you're both eyes open, you're alert. So that's what I would use personally. It's not for everyone, but I think that's probably the best optic to use on a big bore rifle.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, Buff and Bingtang, it's getting a bit full on you, and you start, you know, getting close. Yeah. And I always think, you know, you should at least be able to get that 50 meters, and, you know, red dots be perfect for that. So,
oh, definitely.
Who'd you go through up there, mate? Was it which company, guiding company?
So we're very lucky. So I've got some really good mates up there that I've been friends with for a lot of years, and some of them are pretty much family, I guess you would say. So so you got Alex Jaggers from Big Country Safaris, Stephen Patterson, Dingo Creek Hunting Safaris, Nick Joyce from The Last Frontier, he calls himself now, and we had Harry Stanton from True Wild Outfitters. So we had all four of the outfitters joined us it was pretty much like a boys trip, to be honest. And we all went up there and we had a bloody good time. So we stretched ourselves over three properties and just had a blast. So we got some absolutely beautiful animals on the deck, and some even better pigs. I've been to the Territory a couple times now and I've never seen pigs of this quality. So we got onto that as well. But just having those four boys there together and watching how well they work, like they're independent businesses, but watching how well they worked as a team as well, it was unreal. So, but you need a thick skin to go with them, because holy hell, they can give you some gripe.
Those boys up there in the NT, they're a different breed. I've heard a fair few stories about from Brett Mildrum and a few other lads about you know, True Wild Outfitters, and I know a couple of guys who know Alex. I believe he was from Moree back in the day. So
that's right, he is.
Yeah. So they're all pretty hard kind of blokes, and to do that kind of job up there, Chase and Buff, you've got to have balls of steel, I reckon. It's just different.
Mate, and just the professionalism of all of them. So it was just, it's unmatched. And, you know, even though sort of we're up there, it was a bit of a, bit of a relaxed sort of trip. Just watching how they just, everyone works up there is unreal. So they're definitely workaholics.
Yeah. Is that a Cape Bull up top? A Buffalo, sorry?
That's one of my Buff, yeah. So I got him back in 2017.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, got him back in 2017, and I'm just waiting to mount it, actually. So that's my next ambition. I've got the room now to actually do it, and it'd be pretty cool. My best mate actually got one mounted just from the last trip, and they're seriously a big mount. So it kind of put me off a little bit as to where I'm going to put it when I do it. Once I get the right dollars together, I'll definitely be putting it together.
Yeah, you don't realize how big they are until, it's the Buffs, the Scrub Bulls. I went to my ADA meeting, and there was a guy came in, something to do with second biggest, or I can't remember the right phrase. I won't say it was second biggest, but it was a huge red. The size of this red was just monstrous. I've seen quite a few reds, but this thing just towered over everything I've ever seen. It's just a huge. I'll have to get the right terms of the. It was second biggest something. I don't know. I don't think it was antlers. I'm not sure. I'll have to do my research and come back to you because he was a monster red. I don't see anything that big in the Brisbane Valley. He was shot up in New South Wales somewhere, so I think it's a different kind of red. I think there's different breeds from each end, New South Wales and Queensland. Yeah. Some of them know, but he was a monster. So.
There is some seriously good genetics, and I won't mention the area because I know people get funny with it. But one of our blocks actually, I know that there's been quite a few good reds taken off that. I know the hunters that have taken them there. I personally don't shoot them there. Well, I've got an agreement with the property manager that we'll shoot the fallow because there's an absolute abundance of them. You could go there and shoot all season, then go back and still do it again next year. The property's that good, but we leave the reds alone just to keep the genetics up. Unfortunately, the poachers give them a bit of a touch-up, but we do our best to involve Stock Squad where we can and just sort of report the crime. But, it's hard. But some of the genetics, like what we've seen up there just probably this last season gone, has just been nothing short of phenomenal.
Yeah. It's interesting you say the genetics because I've noticed where we hunt, we hadn't been there for about, I'm going to say a good 5 years. We'd hunted every second weekend basically probably 10 years ago. And I had this conversation with my father. Because we're basically there to cull numbers. I was saying to him, I was talking about the red I was just talking about at the ADA meeting, saying, the red that I've seen at this meeting is just gigantic towards, the red we're seeing in the paddock. And we've just started going back there, and it's probably been a good couple of years. And the genetics has obviously improved because no one's been hunting them, but also people are starting to get to the point where we're just going to let that deer go. It's not ready to shoot this season.
Yeah.
This is a couple of months ago. So after the rut, still great stags walking around. It was just really good to see. Like there was a couple there that we didn't shoot because they were just too far or on the move. And, next year they're going to be awesome sets. It's just going to be, I said to Dad next year, we're coming up here in the rut, and I'm getting a one mounted if I get a monster, because I said that I just want to get a big fella for my wall.
Absolutely. And I think it's maturing as a hunter too. Like, don't get me wrong, I've been through that phase where I've gone out and just nuked a place too and just shot a lot of different animals because, like, again, it's just being able to have the access to land to do it and being the only people hunting it. Like, the owner will want the gun, otherwise he's going to shoot them. So And now sort of a bit of education, and I know that they are a feral animal, but, you know, you cull out the animals that don't sort of meet the criteria and try and keep the ones that do sort of things. So I think maturing as a hunter is actually looking at that animal and saying, I'm going to leave that till next year.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
It's always a thing, like some bastard will come in and probably poach it, but, you know, you just got to try and hope that, he makes it another year or something like that. Yeah. So,
The property we are on there, you know, like you said, we're mainly there to cull the numbers, and majority of the stuff we shoot, I'm over the moon, because to me it's just meat. I'm just seeing, I like my family, we basically all we eat is venison now, because that's all I make sausages. If I get a good pig somewhere that's away from, you know, in the crop country, or, you know, a healthy looking pig, I'll just buy trim, and we'll make sausages, and I'll do as much as I possibly can, but out of that venison. But even the old boys said, oh, well, you know, we'll leave a couple of the big boys. Normally the big boys are on you before they hear the car coming and they're gone. So, you know, something that's very – another question. So the old boy's 270, it's fairly old, and the scope on it is slowly going. Can a scope – will the glass always be – what's the word I'm trying to look for? Can they ever wear out?
Well, I don't see how something can wear out. Where I would see the wear is, on your optical rings or your turrets over time. Like if you're really aggressive on your turrets, like a target scope, I can see wear over time. It would have to be a bloody long time. Wear on your lenses, that would come down to your maintenance and how well you clean them. And I've seen people clean them with just about everything, and myself included, like a dirty shirt, a rag, a tissue. Like, I admit I'm not the best with it, but I really think it comes down to how well you look after that scope. In saying that, look, I've picked up scopes that, you know, have gone yellow over the years. So not our own scopes, but, you know, other, you know, different brand scopes that are quite, they're quite old too, but, you know, back in the day, they wouldn't have been yellow in the lens. So I have seen that. I really think it comes down to what you clean them with and, you know, the sort of the abuse they cop. But actually wearing a scope out, I fail to see personally where it could.
Yeah, I think it's just Dad and I are both going blind and old. I think that might be the reason. I think
age affects us all, mate. It's a trap, mate. No one's getting out.
I put the scope up to my eye and I said, Dad, I can't see much out of this. I said, this is absolutely ridiculous. And he said, yeah, I'm starting to think so. I think it's also well, that's what I said to him. I said, we need to get a Zerotech where it draws in a bit more light. I think that was the other issues, the light problem. Can you discuss, and for the newbies listening, also myself, I'm terrible at this stuff. Can you explain, because my old boy used to be a roo shooter, and he's telling me about, you got to get the right one to draw enough light. Can you tell us what that means by drawing in the light, you know, like under a spotlight? Or can you tell us what that means by, you know, the mills and all that kind of stuff?
So I'm by far not an engineer or expert on optical lenses. So for full transparency, I'm not the best person to ask, but for any sort of night shooting, your objective lens should be the biggest it possibly can. 50 mil is great. It's probably the best all rounder. If you can go 56, great again, but you're starting to look at a very large scope then. Like a 56 mil objective really sits high. You may even need higher rings. So it really comes down to the objective of the scope and the actual glass quality. So the majority of our lenses are actually got 92% light transmission, which is, you run that against other brands and what they, the specs they've got in their optics, ours is up there with the best. So yeah, you're really looking for that light transmission and a larger objective.
Okay, all right. I'm going to make a key point of that 92% for something later on. So,
sounds good.
Back to the cleaning. Is there anything you should be doing with if you got a scope, you've just gone out for a weekend hunting, you've dropped it, you've we'll just say a 3x18x56mm. That's what I've got. I've dropped in the mud. What would I do to get that clean, mate, and you know, get it all sorted for the next trip?
I'll just send it back to us, mate. We'll do it for you.
Clean. Oh, okay. Right.
No, we can fix things, but no, look, honestly, I've hosed mine down before because I'm a bit clumsy as well, and I've dropped things down. So they're waterproof. They can handle a shower. So when you do get them fully coated in mud, which I have, hose it down, use the isopropyl alcohol wipes on the lenses, and just like a soft touch. Be very careful, excuse me, not to get any dirt or grease or grime in there, and use no oils. The scopes don't need oiling. I've seen plenty of people that have wiped them down with oils and that. It's not good for the scope. So, yeah, I would hose it down and give it a good wipe over with a microfiber cloth, and then, yeah, use the isopropyl like lens cleaning, little lens cleaning swabs. And a little brush or something to get any dirt that's on the lens. But yeah, try and avoid getting your shirt in there and wiping it. You will damage the lens.
No, it's good to know. I use my camera cleaner. Basically, there's no oils. Yep. It's just it freaks me out because like I said before, I don't want to wreck it. Anyway, I still manage to wreck it, so that's all good. Have you got any more big hunts booked out with Zerotech, mate, as a group? You're gonna go up north again, or New Zealand, or anything like that?
So yeah, look, that's a great question. So one thing we are big on at Zerotech, and once a year we do a hunt somewhere. So as a team, pretty much our whole team gets together and we take new products out and actually put them to the test. So because you know it's easy to make something, but actually proving that it works in every environment is the next thing. So these trips are quite critical. We've done the Northern Territory. We're definitely going to go back to the Northern Territory. The big one for me right now is New Zealand. So I've hunted New Zealand, found it phenomenal. It kicked my ass, which was great. So I did the Landsborough Valley. Actually hunted Arbor Rift, and it was, phenomenal. So I want to take some of our new optics over there and put them through their paces on the mountain. So, it is definitely on the cards.
No, we did New Zealand this year, and it's the best place. I couldn't get over it. We just went for a quick 1 day hunt with a family friend. Yep. We didn't get anything. We saw a couple of red does, the back end of it. Yeah, but it's just beautiful to walk through it. I was happy all day. I don't think didn't even care. I didn't see anything. I was just like, this is awesome. And, got to go past a couple of farms, and the guy was explaining what a wapiti and a seeker, and just seeing the different kind of, chamois. That's all something. It's all new to me, isn't it? Australian hunter going over. There's a guy I've had on here a while back, Cody Gear, and he's done a couple of trips over there just off his bat, not safaris or anything like that, just gone over there. We had a good chat, and he's had a couple of chats on other podcasts about just basically doing cheap trips like that. So I'm keen to have a bit more of a chat to him about getting over there and doing public land hunting over there. Just, I don't care if I don't get anything. I just want to go over there and have a great time on top of the mountain.
It's the experience, if anything else, and it is cheap. I think your dearest part's going to be your airfares.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how cheap it was to actually get in the mountain and start hunting these animals. We were chasing tar. So evidently I went over with a 65-year-old guy. He's worth looking up, Lewis Reed, or he's got his own website, lewisreed.com.au. Yep. So I went over with him, and, mate, that guy just both me and Alex Jaggers from Big Country Safaris went with him. And, mate, he kicked our asses on that hill. Like, I've never seen an old guy that, walks with a limp and says how sore he is. Mate, he just powered up them hills. So, and he's been there enough, but... I reckon it was probably one of the most life-changing hunts I've ever done, and I can recommend it to anyone. It's going to really kick your ass going up and down that hill every day, but when you get to the top and you've nailed a tar and that sort of thing, and you're overlooking just the vast nothingness of steep hills, it's really really something else.
yeah You need a tar on that wall, mate. A chamois and a tar.
Oh, mate, you know what? I don't even want to talk about. I'm looking at photos here that you can't see on the camera. They're reminders of how close I got and didn't quite get there. So I managed to shoot two while I was there and got within sniffing distance of them. And just, it was heartbreaking. It was even to the point where we considered like an extraction from a helicopter to get one, but it was just too dangerous where they'd fallen. So timing a shot, getting it to fall down the slope and slide into the right spot. And when it come, this particular one I shot, which was a really good bull, come down and there was like on a bit of a bluff, there was like a crack in the rock and he's landed feet first and he's just pinned himself. And he just sat there and just went in this crack on the side of the bloody hill. And I was like, mate, we didn't have the climbing gear, like any ropes or nothing like that. So we weren't prepared for it. And yeah, I think I got about 8 meters from him. And all I could do was look at it and take a photo. Like there was just, it was a huge drop and, you know, it wasn't worth dying on a mountain. So
it's the guy that took us, our family friend, he said that it happens a lot. And I was just like, as an Australian hunter, most hills I see for me personally is if I head towards Tamworth Way. Basically where I hunt, it's flat. And he's saying the same thing. You've got to kind of predict where they're going to fall. And if it's in a dangerous spot, you're not going to get them back. And he was telling me about the guys that, you know, have been killed on the mountains. And it's just like, as an Australian, you know, well, Queenslander, we don't really have that issue here. So it's devastating to see your animal go down a crack and never get it back. So
that's it. And look, it comes down to your experience. So I'm not an experienced rock climber. So, and there's probably plenty of New Zealanders that would have, you know, jumped across this bloody crevice and retrieved it and all that sort of thing. But that wasn't me. And yeah. So it just gives me incentive to go back next year and don't suck at where I aim to put the animal down. So, yeah. But anyway.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but, you know, you can't hits the rock and goes left where you think it was going to go right. And so,
definitely.
Very, very hard. I've got another question here. What does it say, Michael? Cody's the most popular. Yes, he is. Yeah, Cody's. Michael said, for people who are listening, Cody's the most popular podcast guest of all time. Just ask him. Yeah, Cody's been on quite a few podcasts. For people listening, I call him the podcast slut. He knows that. Yeah, mate, he's been on every single one. It's he's a nice hunter. He's up at Dubbo Way, I believe. He's pretty lucky. He works on the family farm and basically can hunt any time of the day whenever he wants, kind of thing. So
half his luck.
He sent me a video a couple of days ago or weeks ago now, probably. He was doing something with the sheep. And then he looks, puts the camera out. He's filming the sheep, and he puts his camera out, and there's a fellow buck walking up under the dam. And I was just like, and it was a good sized buck too. And I was just like,
For me, some people have just got the luck.
That's it. You know, for me, it's a 6+ hour drive. So anyway, mate, is there any surprises coming up? Anything Zerotech's gonna bring out soon, or is it smooth sailing for now? And just getting people out there.
I think for the remainder of this year, there won't be any sort of major releases. So we do have several products that are in development and will be sort of ready for launch soon. I would say expect to see them probably early next year, Q1 of next year. Another thing Zerotech is sort of really getting heavily involved with the PRS, so Precision Rifle Australia. We're supporting a number of clubs and that sort of thing now. We've got a number of actually sponsored shooters on the PRS circuit, and that's looking to increase for next year. So, and with that, there will be optics, that will come out tailored for PRS. So, I mean, you could use them as a hunting scope, but their core principle will be to deliver results on a precision rifle shooting scenario.
Yeah, what's the difference from a target gun, target scope to a hunting scope?
Pretty much the reticles for one. That's probably the biggest difference, and just the turrets. So we do have, like, they're similar, but the turrets in our PRS scopes are of a standard hire. So they're coming out of our Japanese factory, and they are quite a significant step up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's worth, if you're ever in a store and you can get your hands on one and just try it, there's something to, I would compare them to another very high-end PRS scope that everyone is very, or it's very popular in that scene. I'd grab one and I'd try it and just see what you reckon. So yeah. I'd be very interested to hear the feedback.
And that's it, you know, you've got to do your homework and, yeah. You know, you, like Michael said before in a comment, you can go and spend $2,500. But if you have a look at Zerotech, it's again, lifetime warranty. They don't cost as much as other brands. You know, yep. And like I said before, you can beat the crap out of them and they're not going to break. I've beaten the crap out of mine and, you know, it still survives. And you've, you know, like you said, you've given your stuff to your Zerotech scopes to your mates and they bash them and still yep. going. So, it's a great product, mate. And I'm glad I've got a couple on my guns and I've got some binos. So I really appreciate you coming on today. And any final words you want to mention or anything like that?
Yeah, sorry it's taken so long. I think it's been over 12 months since we started talking about it. But it's been a very busy year. So, but it's good to finally get on. And I do hope to get back on again for another episode. Probably, you know, maybe next year when we've got a few things coming out. I'd love to talk about them.
Yeah, hopefully I'm a bit more organized and I can, I've just had so many things happen in the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's been a poor old Matty from Hunting and Beyond came on last week and I just said to him, Matty, I've done no questions. I'm dealing with a few things at the moment. And Matty's just like, I'll sort you out. So he basically carried me last week. So I apologize to people. I'm not doing the videos down the bottom. Like I'll be talking to guests and videos running. YouTube's been playing up on me a lot with that. So I'm kind of just trying to focus on having a good conversation with, like Ben or Matty, just having the conversation because all the listens are coming. We're getting really, really good listens now on the podcast, which is fantastic. So thanks again for coming on today, mate, and I can't wait to get you back on next year and we'll talk a bit more and Zerotech will be bigger and better again. So it's awesome stuff to see. I love it.
No worries, Lawson. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks, mate.